Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bocce Boys. It is second of the week. We have baseball to preview, recap, all that stuff, unfortunate news, more football to preview for this weekend, giant college football slate. Make sure you tune in because it all starts right now. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Davis, we have a lot to talk about. Let's just start with baseball. Let's get it over with. Let's get it out of the way, Davis. We have some unfortunate news. The Philly season is over. It's dead. Rest in peace. May it never come back again. This season was tough, Davis. Tough way to end it. They lost in four games to the Mets. First time ever playing the playoffs, and it did not end in our way, Davis.
It did not. Look, I mean, I told you on the last podcast it felt 50-50, and yep. Obviously game three didn't go our way. The bats weren't hitting like they should be and what they're paid to do, and game four gave up the grand slam, and, you know, I know Stevez was put into a tough situation with bases crammed, but I mean, geez, you know, you're a top five payroll in the MLB, and your bats go cold for the third straight year in a row. I mean, at some point, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, going off the rails, but this is the reason why this feels like MLB plays too long of a season, is because, look, I know you play 162 games, and I know games are important. I know it's very important, especially with the new wild cards, to get to that 86, 87 wins to hopefully get a chance to get into the playoffs. But if you go cold for three games in the NLDS, you're done.
Winning 95 games.
You're done. And it did not fall our way. I think that's a rule of thumb that we've seen for the last 2 years, that the best teams, the teams with the buys, have not been winning. Yeah. And, you know, who knows? I'm still a proponent of saying I think it's the buys are a good thing. I just think, you know, it's...
Why would you not? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you always want to be a one step closer to your end goal. But, I mean, the way the Phillies played the last 2 years as the underdog and versus how they played as the favorite now, I mean, geez, our middle of the order basically, and especially the bottom of the order, really could not pick up the pieces to actually look like a playoff baseball team.
For sure. And this is definitely loser talk, but... I mean, maybe this advantage is like, I mean, maybe having the bye is a disadvantage because like, I don't like the Phillies just did not have it. And the Mets came in blaring red hot. I mean, you see the Dodgers and Padres series competitive, same with the Royals, Yankees, same with the Tigers and Guardians. But like, I don't think it should be gotten rid of, but it is a disadvantage to have this bye because the Mets came in red freaking hot, dude. And at the end of the day, I hate to say it, but the better team won 100%.
Oh, 100%.
They pitch better. They hit better. They closed out games. I mean, having this time off now with these other series finishing up, I know they're probably going to play Sunday, but this might hurt the Mets because they've been literally playing since the season ended. Like, I think they have one or two or three maybe off days total since then. So, like, credit to the Mets. Good for them. I mean, it sucks to say that. I don't hate them as much as the Braves in recent years, but they're still a division rivalry, and it sucks to lose to them. But you know, it was fun watching the Phillies lose like that, honestly, because it's a slap in the face to the organization that something has to change. We went from World Series to NLCS Game 7 to losing to four games in the NLDS. That's a step down. It's a massive step down. I'm not going to be a WIP guy who comes on here and is like, trade Turner, trade Casty, all that stuff, because I don't think that's not the move right now. Who knows who's going to be available? I know everyone's saying the Phillies have to grow after Juan Soto, which is like, I don't know. Emptying the bank for another guy for over $300 million, I don't think that's the option or the solution. But hey, I'm not Dave Dombrowski. Do what you want. If Middleton's going to open up the bank for you, do what you got to do.
For sure.
But there's some young guys coming up the pipeline that we should be excited about. Andrew Painter, Aiden Miller, there's a couple other guys, but I don't know. I'm not sure what exactly to be excited for, like, next season.
Yeah, two quick things to touch on real quick, because we haven't even talked too much, actually, prior to the podcast. I had just told you on here I didn't watch the middle of the game, and I feel like you totally laughed at me, and I actually – and it's very – I understand. Like, trust me,
I also get why you didn't.
So I had – plans. I'm in a basketball league, so I was playing in that. But I'm not gonna lie to you. The way that game started, by the way, starting the game with leaving bases loaded for the Mets and Stranger figuring out a way how to get out of it the first two innings, I could not wait to turn that game off. I could not wait.
It was definitely a red flag, but to me,
and I didn't want the stress. I really didn't. And look, on my way to my league game, trust me, I heard it on the radio. I heard our first run, and I was like, look, that's huge. And put my phone down. And
it was only one, just like game one. Like,
for sure. I put my phone down. I didn't worry about it. My stress levels went into a different direction personally, instead of a team that I was just rooting for. You know what I mean? There's nothing I can do for the Phillies. That's why it hurts. It hurts so much. So, I mean, in some ways, I feel like, look, I know it's the end of the year and all these guys, this is their job. It's not like they're doing this for fun. A lot of guys are, but they're not doing it for fun. They're doing it for a paycheck, just like me and you. So, look, the way some of these guys came out in the locker room and did their post-game press conferences, like Alec Boehm saying, it is what it is, cannot stand it.
It's not what it was.
I told you it sounds very corny. If they aren't playing with their hearts and seriously playing to the best of their ability, I don't want to be a fan to the best of my ability. I really don't. So I was totally all right with turning that game off. But
that's fair.
My second point with you saying the ladder down from losing the World Series to the NLCS to the NLDS, Phillies, and I'm not saying because it's very different situations. We have a lot of long-term contracts on this team. Smells exactly like what we did in 2008 and 2009. 2008, we won the World Series.
I was going to say, at least we got a win.
2009, and this is off the dome. 2009, we lost the World Series. 2010, we lost in the NLCS to the Giants. 2011, we lost the NLDS to the Cardinals in five games. Yep. 2012, we were the 3 seed in the NL East, missed the playoffs. In 2013, we were the 4 seed in the NL East. 2015, we were the 5 seed in the NL East. In 2016, we had the worst record in baseball. So the downward trajectory is just insane. And that's
baseball. Come on.
Again, it's very different. We're still going to be huge favorites to make the playoffs next year, probably, based on the way this team looks right now and what could be shaken up. You know, this team is only going to get better. There's no way that Dombrowski's pulling the plug. He's not going to pull the plug.
Are they only going to get better?
He is not pulling the plug on this team.
Are they only going to get better?
Roster on paper wise, absolutely. You can. He will not be selling off the pieces. He'll be selling off are Taiwan. You know what I mean? It's
what can they make around the edges is that's really going to make a difference. I mean, maybe you could trade Marsh, Stott, Boehm, potentially. I'm not sure who else you want to throw into that. Maybe Rojas. I think he has a lot of promise.
I think this team is going to look very similar for next year, except maybe a few more bullpen pieces and a better fifth to fourth starter.
They need to change the lineup in some way. This lineup isn't flexible into August, September, even October. And I thought Trey Turner was going to be this new consistent hitter that was going to keep us afloat, like the guy that was going to hit 294, 300, and then keep us alive in the postseason too. And I mean,
that didn't happen. That. I mean, during the season, he did hit 290. I think he did hit 294 in the postseason, in the regular season.
It's more so who's going to hit in the postseason that's going to keep us alive and who's going to propel Bryce Harper. Instead, it was Bryce Harper has to create for the entire team, which, you know, he's the leader of the team. Maybe he should. But we need pieces around these guys to lift the power hitters who are making whatever their AAV over 50 million is.
But you know as well as I know that I'm not saying the playoffs are built different, but they kind of are.
No, they are different.
Look at Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge has been one of the worst postseason performers in history in the last decade. He's been awful. Mookie Betts went on a streak until the other night where he hit a home run in the first
inning. Another one.
And he had another one last night, but he was on like an 0-for-22 streak. I mean, it happens. There's some, I don't know what it is, but we just need to get to that fire point. And I'm not saying that's win 100 games next year. You know, that's sure. where I am definitely the guy who sits down in the middle of June, the dog days of June, and watches a Phillies game. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that guy, but I need to take into consideration that those games don't matter as much. It's hard to picture that in my mind, but because we watch Eagles games and every game matters. Penn State games, every single game matters. So it's very
Sixers strange. Games matter more.
Yeah, for sure. Flyers games, 100%. They start tomorrow. So, every point matters.
Shout out the Flyers. So let me ask you this. Is Rob Thompson the manager next year?
I guess so.
Should he be manager next year?
50-50 on this. I think no. I would say no. I don't think Rob's the manager. And I'm not saying that as a WIP psycho, saying fire everybody, I'll do all this. I do think, because the way this team has looked the last 3 years has been very similar. Yeah. And the management had no problem in the – this series loss. I think management had some issues last year. I was not happy with certain bullpen decisions during the postseason last year against the Diamondbacks.
Everything that had to do with Craig Kimbrell, and all that
correct.
Stuff.
So
and
this
year it was just like,
yes,
he lives and dies with his matchups, which you got to respect at some point too.
Yep, but I would lean towards. I do not think Topper will be manager for opening day next year.
Yeah, I think a change is maybe necessary, but like. At the same time, who can you bring in that's going to bring the force for change? Because in baseball, it's not like these other things where you can bring in another guy. That other guy has to, like, completely mesh with the locker room, also be better at making certain decisions than the last guy, and, like, bring the culture up, which, it's already pretty high. So, like, I'm not sure who they can bring in to, revitalize that. But anything you want to comment on the rest of the MLB, though?
Yeah, Tigers, Guardians, they're actually in the ninth inning right now. Actually, the Guardians just won. So we're gonna see a game five.
No. If you said the Tigers won, they won the series.
Guardians won.
Oh, I thought you just said the Tigers won.
No, sorry, maybe I did. Guardians won 5-4.
Okay,
all right. That was my pick, was the Guardians. I thought they were gonna win this game and the last game. Okay, that did not happen. I'm still gonna go with the Guardians, though. Yankees up 2-0 right now in a win or go home game for the Royals. So we could very well now be seeing, the Yankees clinching a spot, and then game five going to the Guardians in Detroit tomorrow. This Padres-Dodgers series is going to wrap up tomorrow.
What time is that game? I can't see. Is that 8?
8 o'clock Eastern time. That's perfect. That's going to be a fun one. But nothing much to comment on. Congratulations to the Mets. I mean, they beat us. They beat us, man.
Yeah. Lindor should win MVP, but he probably won't because of Ohtani. So hopefully they get far enough that he can win something in the postseason. Seriously.
Yep, for sure.
He's playing his ass off. Let's get to college football, Davis. Huge, huge, huge week. Not to sound like Donald Trump, but it's huge. Absolutely huge. Seriously. I mean, we've already talked about this a little bit earlier this week with some of the bigger name games, but Davis was kind enough to give you the entire freaking slate on the bottom. Starting at noon all the way to, it looks like, 11 o'clock Boise State Hawaii start. So,
yeah,
there you go.
I love a good Hawaii game.
Don't forget, they started at 11:59 Eastern Standard Time, week zero. They don't care about the times. They do what they got to do. Yep. All right, Davis. So we already talked about this a little bit this week. We talked about Texas. We talked about Ohio State, Oregon. We made some picks a little bit, but is anything changing your mind here? / are there some other games that we need to talk about? Because Tennessee, Florida, I'm sorry, is a game we didn't talk about. Because this was probably going to be a much, higher touted game, but Florida is not great. But there's some other interesting games. We're going to talk about Wisconsin, Rutgers, but Washington and Iowa might be very interesting. South Carolina, Alabama might be very interesting. I know Bama is a must win scenario there. Arizona, BYU could low-key be here, seriously. Anything else pop out to you?
Yeah, I mean, other than these, I would consider them the major six here that are, like, graphically put on the screen. As a kind of bottom feeder, like, what people would probably call maybe the worst game on this slate, being the Wed Wivel Wivelwee, Texas-Oklahoma. I mean, I think Oklahoma definitely can hold their own, but Quinn Ewers coming back this week now for Texas. Yep. That was just announced today. I think Texas is going to win this game. But the other kind of underdog game here would be Colorado-Kansas State. Everyone's loves Colorado, the story that they're on right now. I am going to fade them again this week. I think Kansas State beats them in Boulder. But, I mean, this slate is just crazy. We're seeing – I mean, I know we had it in the last podcast, and viewer Ryan Brake threw in his six-leg parlay, which I feel like we're going to have to ride. I mean, if any other viewers have a six-leg parlay
– I responded and told him to parlay it, so hopefully he can win big.
Yeah, give us those odds down in the comments, and we'll sprinkle something on there.
Yeah, but text it to me, Ryan, please.
Yeah, we're seeing Ole Miss at LSU. We're seeing, you know, obviously this Penn State game going all the way across the country. To play at 3:30 against Miller Moss.
Also, speaking of Penn State, what do you think of James Franklin bitching and moaning about having to drive to Harrisburg because the runway wasn't long enough?
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, he definitely made some good points about how
he's like, "Whoa, I know everyone has to drive, fly across the country now, but what about us? We got to drive an extra hour."
Yeah, these are things that should have been thought about years ago when this realignment thing was happening. Like, why are we talking about this now? Penn State, we've had to go travel. We traveled to Auburn. Now I'm curious. I'm pretty sure they flew out of state college, if I remember correctly, to go to Auburn. But, like, I want to hear all this now. Like, why is this getting brought up now? I mean, James Franklin, do what you want. Take that little bus drive down to H-Town. But, just enjoy your flight, man. Enjoy your first-class flight.
Seriously. But speaking of Penn State, this is a must-win game against USC this week. I think USC is going to be much more comfortable at home, because like we just said, that Penn State does have to fly cross country, and you know, I don't know when they're getting in to get rid of the jet lag and all that stuff, but it will make a difference. So, but Davis, I can't help admit this game kind of stands out to me only because of the Rose Bowl 4 or 5 years ago when we lost, and that was a heater game, Saquon versus Sam Darnold. I apologize.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold was going crazy that year, which might be hard to believe if it wasn't. Yeah. 2024, and he was going crazy for the Vikings. But Penn State, I would love to see them go into Pasadena and get a W. Seriously, they need it. I know they got Wisconsin, I think, next week, or there's a bye in between them and Wisconsin and then Ohio State, I think. Big matchup here.
Yeah, never – I mean, this might sound really contrarian, but like – USC lost last week to Minnesota. I don't like that, because now USC is coming in with vengeance. Like, seriously, they really are. They've dropped down.
The season's over.
Yeah, their AP poll ranking has dropped. They're out of the top 25. They're technically 26. It'll
be their third loss. They already have two.
Correct. So I don't like that. But, I mean, if Penn State goes in there and plays their game, I mean, this is a team that we should be able to run the ball all over. I would hope and expect Nick Singleton and Catron Allen to combine for 200 rushing yards in this game, which they've done many games already. But I think this is a game, if we play our style of football, we're not a team that's going to blow people out. But if we play our style of football, I don't care if we win by 40. I don't care if we win by 4. We need to win the game and come home. And, you know, Ohio State's the big game on the schedule. Wisconsin might seem like a trap game, but 1 week at a time, 1-0 mentality.
Yeah, I completely agree. They got to focus on the Trojans this weekend. One of the games I already mentioned, though, Arizona-BYU. This is kind of huge for BYU, dude. If they lose this week, they're probably out of the Big 12 championship mix. But right now, they're firmly in it, and they look like a top 15 in the country right now. People are not talking enough about the Cougs.
Yep, I am definitely paying attention to a lot of these Big 12 teams. One of my preseason predictions and bets that I have in a lot of different small parlays is Utah to win the Big 12. Utah doesn't even play this week, and I am going to be dialed into the Big 12 because BYU is definitely a team that has, you know, cemented themselves as a potential contender in the conference. Yeah. But not only that, Iowa State at West Virginia. You're going to see my pick it in the picks of the weekend.
What's West Virginia's record?
3-2, I believe.
Okay, all
right.
But Iowa State is ranked.
Oh, right. Iowa State's ranked, and they're
in the top 20.
Yeah, they're definitely top 20. I think they actually might be like top 15. If I'm they're 11.
Shout out to the Cyclones and to Florida too.
Big week for the Big 12 as well for some of these. I will say these minor games you're going to put on the schedule are not usually minor games. Iowa State, West Virginia is a game that usually could be a huge 3:30 kickoff on any given week. But based on, you know, seriously being their 6-8 tremendous, you know, kind of game of the year type games this week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of these games kind of get pushed aside. Yeah. And I just want to say, don't forget about the rest of the slate.
Yeah, I mean, there's a really good game at every time slot. You can literally look left or right. We start the day. Where is it? Washington, Iowa, South Carolina, Alabama. Clemson plays Wake Forest, which will be a good game. But then the 3:30 slate is absolutely loaded. 8 o'clock, Ohio State and Oregon. Let's just get into that. Is your pick changing? You still? I think you said Ohio State, right?
I had picked Oregon with the field goal, just because they were that plus 3.5.
Mm-hmm. Mind changing at all? What are we thinking? Because this is a massive, massive game.
Wait, did I pick Oregon? Yeah, I think.
I think you did. I think you did. Actually, I picked Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to take the team that's just going to be the plus points here almost any given day.
Yep.
You know, yeah, still seeing Oregon around 3.5. So I'll take Oregon plus 3.5. But if you had to tell me who I was going to pick to win, it sounds crazy because I'm picking Oregon here. I'm going to pick Ohio State to win, though.
Yeah. So what would you say to those, though, that are saying online that if Ohio State wins and a Penn State wins out, a potential Penn State-Ohio State matchup could be number one versus number two/maybe number 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, if Ohio State wins this week and yes, we beat USC and we should beat Wisconsin, we're over a 2-touchdown favorite in that game. Yes, knock on wood, please. We will absolutely be either number two or number three, and Ohio State will absolutely be number one.
Right, Nate. Isn't that the biggest game in Penn State recent history?
Yeah, probably. Honestly, probably. I mean, if you got to take some of those Ohio State games out because a lot of them were later in the year. But I would say when we played Iowa, when they were number three and we were number four, that felt like the biggest game at that time. We play Ohio State at home this year. That was at Iowa, a game Sean Clifford got hurt in the first quarter. We were up by 14-3, and we brought in a non-competent quarterback who couldn't throw the ball. So, you never know what's going to happen in college football, but
is that a Christian? What was his name?
No, it was I'm blanking on his name now. Of course, he transferred to UConn. Oh my gosh, what was his name?
I don't remember his name. This is totally a thing you should know. Come on,
I know it really is.
Because I was going to say Will Levis, but no.
No, it wasn't Will Levis.
It's not Christian.
Taquan Roberson.
Taquan Roberson.
Yep. He was 7 for – so Clifford, in a quarter and a half of play, was 15 for 25 for 450 yards. Or, 150 yards. Taquan Roberson came in the game for the last 2.5 quarters, 7 for 24, 34 yards and 2 interceptions. Not great. Lost us that game. Lost our opportunity to make the playoff in 2022.
I do not remember that stat line being that bad.
Oh, it was bad. Crap. It was bad. Let's just get it done. That's what I'm going to say. Let's get it done.
I cannot agree more. Anything else you need to take away from this college football weekend?
No, I've got a few picks in the picks of the weekend, so I'll save some of them for them.
Love it. We'll circle back on the picks. Let's get to the NFL. We didn't miss. Something happened bright and early on, was it Wednesday morning, I guess, yesterday?
Yeah.
Tuesday
morning, actually.
Yeah, Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets, was fired in a very surprising / shocking / what the hell move. Seems like he was made by Woody Johnson. A lot of people are saying it was made by Aaron Rodgers online, making all sorts of jokes, and it certainly doesn't help that miscommunication on the hug happened like 2 weeks before that. So a very odd situation in New York, but nonetheless, the facts are the facts, and Robert Saleh is apparently he was escorted out by security too, which is kind of wild that he didn't get the chance to talk to his team. But clearly Woody Johnson, the former ambassador to the UK, got embarrassed in front of his friends last weekend when the Jets lost in London. And I don't think Woody was too happy about it. So new coach, Coach Ulbrich on the top right, taking over. And they have a huge, huge Monday night game with the Bills to decide the division sort of in the early stages of the season.
Yeah, I think it's a great move. I don't think the way it happened was great because Johnson went behind Joe Douglas's back. Apparently, Joe Douglas had no idea that this was happening. You know, give or take.
Joe Douglas does have only 1 year left on like a 6-year deal, so maybe that's why.
True. Yeah, I mean, you never know, but you know, you never really like when the owner steps in. Usually, I don't know how involved Woody Johnson is, but it smells a lot like what happened in Carolina. And picking,
I think he got a lot more involved after his ambassador term ended.
For sure. But I think this is a good thing for the Jets. I really do. They actually, I think the biggest news out of all of this is that they relinquished Nathaniel Hackett's offensive play calling.
Very true.
I think new that is a caller. Huge deal.
Todd Downing is taking over his play calling duties. A lot better play caller than Driver, I will say.
Nathaniel Hackett is a
DUI
bum.
Guy.
He is a bum. I think he always was a bum. He was a bum when he was in Denver. He couldn't. He was maybe one of the worst head coaches in NFL history.
Apparently, he was almost fired by Saleh before Saleh got fired. So.
Yeah, I don't know why he's around. We all know why he's around because of the Rodgers effect. But I think this is actually I think this is a pretty solid slate, though. I think the Jets win the game on Monday night. Maybe we'll have a podcast on Monday to talk about it before.
Probably not in time.
We'll see. But I'm going to pick the Jets. I think this is a rebound move for them. This smells like the Phillies in 2022 firing Joe Girardi. It really does. So we'll see. But good rest of the slate. I mean, what I will say, the Niners are killing the Seahawks right now. So congratulations on that. Yeah, they're up 17-0 already. 16-0, I'm sorry. I had the Seahawks plus. I didn't have it on the podcast. Seahawks plus 3.5. Still alive. You never know.
Who called it? This guy.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. This guy. I'm taking my time to glow up, but the Seahawks are definitely going to come back and win tomorrow.
No, cover.
Yeah, they're going to cover. No, they'll cover. Yeah, obviously. But yeah, Niners looking good so far. But speaking of London games, like I just alluded to, another one this week. The first one's always nice. And by the way, last week was nice because it took us like right up to like 12:45, 12:50.
Yeah, love that.
Perfect. If they can end around that time every time, I would very much prefer it. But the Bears and the Jags are heading to London this week. I want to mention about the Bears. Caleb Williams getting better every week now. He really has. Maybe not looking like Jaden Daniels, but he is progressing week over week. The Jaguars coming off a win here. I think the Bears might kill them, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, this game's actually a pick 'em right now. Which I think is interesting because I think a lot of people are going to be on the Bears side, but I don't know, man. This Jacksonville team, this is probably their future home. I mean, there were a lot of talks, obviously, of Jacksonville possibly leaving and going to London.
We could do a whole podcast on that because I don't know how the logistics of that would work.
For sure. That agreed. That would be a whole podcast. But yeah. This feels like it could be kind of a half home game for Jacksonville because they have a lot of support over there.
Yep.
I think they're starting. I know they were like they just got their first win last week, but I think they're starting to make the right moves. They're starting to play Tank Bigsby a lot more. And Trevor Lawrence has looked better last week. I know the Colts defense isn't known. And
it was Trevor Lawrence's birthday last week. Just want to say that.
I'll take Jacksonville in this game. I think it's going to be very. I think it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be pretty low scoring too. But I'll take Jacksonville. Why not? Throw a flyer out there.
This is the Boshy Boys dual game of the week, so let's keep an eye on this for when we do the preview or recap next week. Because I got the Bears. I love the Bears. Whatever the spread is, I'll take the Bears.
I think it's -1. So yeah.
Love that. All right, we won't go through every single game, but I do want to go to this next one: Washington and Baltimore. Did not think this would be a battle of the heavyweights this early in the season, man. Not expecting that. The Commanders are 4-1, I believe. Baltimore's 3-2. Jaden Daniels looks like the MVP going against the reigning MVP, Lamar Jackson. I hope to God the Ravens win this game. I'm going to be honest with you because it's getting to the point that Jaden Daniels, like, obviously he might be a problem for this season and they might win the division and all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. But, like, this is getting to the point. This might be a problem. We might have Cam Newton in the division. We might have Cam Newton merge with Aaron Rodgers in the division kind of thing. Like, I don't like that. Like the NFC East has been very good for a long time at having very, very, very mediocre quarterbacks in this division. having an elite quarterback in this division is not what I want to see, especially when it's not on our team, Davis. I don't like it.
Agreed. I'm very curious to see how this game turns out. Washington's defense has not been the reason why they're 4-1. And I think the Ravens...
But they're 4-1 still, which is like...
For sure. But I only say that because the Ravens are a team that can exploit that, I think.
Yes.
I wouldn't be shocked if Derrick Henry runs for 150 here, seriously. But I'll take the Ravens to win this game. I think it's going to be close, though.
Yeah. You want to give me a pick for the Cardinals-Packs?
I'm going to take the Cardinals plus the points here. I think that they're a team that's still kind of rolling, and I don't trust Jordan Love yet. He's been way too turnover prone.
Yeah, I agree. Next one, Texans-Patriots. Texans should roll here, but I just want to say Drake May is starting this weekend. So judging by the recent trend of rookie quarterbacks doing way better than they should, maybe he will play well and the Patriots will win. So I don't know. We'll see if there's any hope in New England. But the Texans are rolling right now. They're 4-1, and I kind of think that they'll kick their ass. So,
yeah, I think they're going to kill them
this weekend.
I think they're going to kill them. I know recent bias shows that rookie quarterbacks have been possibly doing well, but in the longevity of things, I will almost never take a rookie quarterback in their first game. So I agree. I think the Texans win by double digits here.
I like it. Saints, Bucks. Jeez, this game is weird. Rattler's going to start. I don't know. I'm going to take the Saints.
Oof. I was going to say the same thing. I can't give that logic for the first NFL start and then turn around and be like, oh, Spencer Rattler looks so good in training camp, though.
Dude, you didn't watch his preseason highlights, obviously.
I don't think the Bucs are as good as people advertise, but give me the Bucs. I don't know if this Saints team still they're still not super healthy. Both these teams are not healthy, but give me the Bucs.
I like it. Birds and the Browns. I don't know. I think the Eagles should roll here.
I think they should roll. I don't think they will roll. I think the Eagles are going to play one of their classic close games.
They're going to win by a game-winning field goal.
Exactly. And you'll see why I have my pick of the weekend for this game.
I hate this. I don't like your pick of the week. It's the Browns with the spread. 8.5, I think.
9.5. Crazy.
I hate it.
Crazy. Eagles Colts haven't won a game by more than 7 points in since I was 12, it feels like.
I know. It's been way too long. Ever since that Broncos game in the Super Bowl year, seriously. Yeah. The Colts, Titans, blah. This should be a disgusting game. Mason Rudolph, I think, starting against Joe Flacco. I don't know.
I
was just going to say, let's go to the next game.
Give me the under.
Yeah, seriously. The Chargers coming off a bye week against Bo Nix and the 3-2 Denver Broncos. Broncos defense is real good. I think the Broncos might win here, but I don't know. This is a battle of who's actually good.
Agreed. I would consider my NFL dog of the week. Yeah, I think I would pick the Broncos here. They're +3.5. Their defense is what I would be putting my.
Pat Surtain is so good.
Yeah, for sure. Their defense is just stellar. Justin Herbert has not looked like him, and the weapons around him. I know
he's Quentin really Johnson, hurt, by the way.
Quentin Johnson has been all right, but yeah, Herbert's hurt. I'll take the Broncos here.
Yeah, I like that too. Steelers going against the Raiders. Raiders making a change. Davante Adams is possibly on his way out. This is a classic, disgusting Steelers-Raiders game. I like the under.
Yeah, completely agree. Aiden O'Connell doesn't do it for me. I'll take the under. And I think it's I think it's one of those 36.5. It's under 40 points. So, hammer the under when it looks like the over is easy.
This is a game I actually like the over in. The Falcons and the Panthers. I think this game could be interesting, but I do like the Falcons to win here.
Completely agree. I love the way you're starting to think, Ethan. I'll take the over for sure here. The Carolina's offense.
You're accepting me, bro.
They have not looked too bad recently. And the Falcons' defense, they've been giving up a lot of points and very quickly giving up points. Over-under's 46.5 here. I'll take the over.
Yeah, I like that too. Lions and the Cowboys. Jeez, this is going to be a matchup of that insane Week 17 game. The two-point conversion, all that stuff that went awry. Should be fun. It's in Dallas. I think it's the 425 Tom Brady game. So this should be fun. But Cowboys need a win here. I kind of think the Cowboys might get it done. They've been losing at home in primetime spots. I know it's 425, but it's still sort of primetime. But I don't know. I kind of think the Cowboys might win here. Obviously, I don't want them to, but
I'm going to take the Lions to win here.
I hope you're right.
Dallas has not done anything to really impress me at all this year.
Fair enough.
So I don't think it starts right now against a top three offense in the league.
No, I agree. Bengals, Giants, kind of like the Giants here. The Bengals are in desperation mode, though, and really need to win. So I think the Bengals will probably win, but the Giants are frisky as it gets, and I don't know. I can kind of smell desperation and, like, a sense of shame from the Bengals, too, and they might slip up. I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe I'm pushing my luck.
Agreed. You know, the Giants have been frisky. I've been saying it for the last few weeks that they've been frisky, but I'm going to go against my word here. I'm going to take the Bengals, but my true pick would be the under 47.5.
Yeah, and then I like the Jets on Monday.
Agreed. I like the Jets, too. They're actually 2.5-point dogs. I'll take the Jets, too.
Yeah, if you fire your coach, I'll pick you. Picks of the weekend. Davis, I don't like that you picked the Browns +9.5. I just want to say that. Just because we're Eagles fans, but also it's just disgusting bet, dude. The Browns have been terrible. They can barely score 10 points, let alone cover 10 points.
The Eagles have not impressed me either, though. So,
scoring.
We didn't against Tampa. We did not against Tampa.
Tampa's good.
We had 0 yards in the first quarter.
Tampa's good.
I will never bet on a team to win by 10 or more points if you Tampa's can't get a single yard in a quarter.
Tampa's good.
I'll take the Browns +9.5. Make it a little easy. Hopefully a little hedge to my heart. Yes. But I'll start. Let's go back to the top left. Let's go to the college football here for a second. Oh, no. Well, there's only one NFL game here. So I'll take the Broncos. I already said that's probably my dog of the week. I'll take him with that +3. Taking a field goal with one of the best defenses in the league. Let's go to college football. Iowa State, West Virginia. Just told you Big 12 is going to be on my radar this weekend. And I'm going to take the Mountaineers +3.5 against Iowa State. One of those weird games, man, where, you know, that away team that's ranked and coming in. This is a huge game for West Virginia and Iowa State. This is trap again. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm going to take West Virginia with that 3.5. I think probably one of my favorite bets and my two favorite bets of the weekend are the next two here. Iowa against Washington. Iowa hasn't looked bad at all. And Washington's coming off a huge win against Michigan. Now Washington has to go all the way to Iowa after winning a game at home against Michigan.
Not that far.
They're pumped up. They just had their win of the year, and now they have to go to Iowa and go against this defense. I'll take Iowa -3.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I hate this pick. I like the other ones, but I don't like this one.
I'm going to go with Iowa here.
I love your next pick, though, I will say. I'm assuming you're taking Pitt.
I am taking Pitt here with the -3 against Cal. Kind of a similar difference. I know they didn't win the game, but Cal was stifly against Miami on Saturday night. 10 o'clock start. They should have won. I'm going to take Pitt. Pitt's looked like a fantastic team. This is going to be the third week in a row I'm going with Pitt. I know I just started the record last week, but this will be the third week in a row I go with Pitt. I'm going to keep the train rolling. And then the last college football game, LSU Ole Miss, very similar pick to the West Virginia one. I'm going to take the home team +3.5. Never fun going into Death Valley. So I'll take LSU. If you're giving me a field goal and half a point there, a field goal on the hook, I'll take it in a heartbeat.
I would love this if Ole Miss hadn't lost to Kentucky. That's all I'm going to say. I really think – I just can't imagine Ole Miss having two losses this early in the year, because if so, Lane Kiffin is going to Gainesville. You better believe it.
we'll see 100%.
No, seriously. Like, if this might be the game that ends his tenure at Ole Miss, we'll see.
It could, but at the same time, LSU has been a team that has not covered the spread very well this year, so I could just be biting my own tongue here, but we'll see.
No, Death Valley has aura. You're right. It definitely does, especially at night, right? 7:30, come on, seriously. That'll be a prime time game. And then Eagles-Browns, we already talked about it. If the Eagles can cover the spread, I would be so happy. Like, 10 isn't even that much to ask for. Like, that's an ass-whooping for us. Come on.
Look, a win's a win, but it feels like the Eagles need one.
Especially for the Phillies, please.
Again, little hedge with your heart there. But look, Flyers start tomorrow. By the time this pocket comes out, it'll be today. Flyers play a game. They have four straight away games. They start in Vancouver.
Are they all in Canada or like one's in Seattle?
The first three in Canada, and then we go to Seattle. So We're at Vancouver and then at Calgary. So hopefully the Flyers pick up at least 2 points.
Two hockey games this weekend for you.
2 points would be nice. Three would be great, I think. So we'll go on our next podcast and hopefully the Flyers are have two or 3 points here.
Yeah, I would love to get into the Flyers next week. RIP to the Phillies. It sucks. Happens. And then the Sixers are on the corner. I don't even want to talk about the Sixers until January, but we probably will. So
I saw Daryl Morey said the PG contract is already a risky move. He hasn't even played a game with us yet.
Why is our general manager saying that?
Or maybe it was Josh Harris. I forget. Someone, one of those two.
Better owner, the guy who's actually paying him. The guy's actually paying him.
One of those two came out and already said it was a risky move to sign him to that big of a deal.
It is risky. Having that much tied up annually for like 4 years to three guys.
Just the daily life of a Philly fan right here. Heartbreak. Maybe Penn State will do it for us.
By the way, I saw someone say that if the Phillies lost last night, which they did, that they would become the Sixers, and I kind of feel it.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it. At least the Phillies have gotten to the World Series / NLCS /
whatever. That doesn't even matter.
Sixers
are editing us.
Maybe I'll change my fandom. Maybe a comment below. Which team should I follow this year? It won't be
NBA team, please. Yeah, give me a new NBA team. That would be fun. Go Villanova. Come on. All right. I think that is it for our time here today. Davis, great job. Great podcast. You did a great job. Philly stink.
That happens. On the next year.
Football this weekend. Hockey coming up. We got it all coming for you. The Botch Boys are here. Like, subscribe, share with a friend. Send it to your friends and say, this podcast sucks. I bet they'll watch it more likely than if you text them and said, this podcast is good.
That should be the like thing of the week is, send this to one friend and say, hey, this podcast sucks.
Watch how bad this podcast is. Dude, this podcast is terrible. Send it to your friend, please.
I wonder if which podcast is worse, ours or the Hawk Tua podcast? I don't know.
Comment below and let us know. Breaking news, I just want to say, apparently the benches and the bullpens have cleared in Kansas City in the Yankees-Royals game.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah, so we'll have to check that out right now. But
that sounds like a desperation move for Kansas City.
Yeah, that's probably going to be all of your timelines tomorrow. We're so late to it, but it's okay. We love you guys. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. Deuces.